मैं पल दो पल का शायर हूँ, पल दो पल मेरी कहानी है, पल दो पल मेरी हस्ती है, पल दो पल मेरी जवानी है। मैं पल दो पल का शायर हूँ।
We did not anticipate to record this episode soon. We had not scheduled this episode anytime soon, not least about 5 weeks before the 2020 IPL season. But then again, MS Dhoni doesn't adhere to any calendars. He has, a record of his own. Whether it's retiring from Test cricket, whether it is giving up his captaincy, 8 p.m. is usually the time when he gets up and says, okay, I am done with this. Because as of 19:29 hours on 15th of August 2020, Dhoni ceased to be an international cricketer. He's retired. He's no longer available to play for India. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot, an emergency meeting that has been convened, really. As always, I am your host, sports broadcaster and writer Chetan Narula. With me, Deepdas Gupta, former Indian cricketer and broadcaster. Deep, hello once again, very quickly. And first thoughts on this, taken by surprise, like all of us, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It wasn't surprising. Him calling it a day wasn't a kind of a surprise. We knew it was coming sooner or later. But then, yeah, I mean, when it actually happens, you suddenly feel that jolt. You know what I'm saying? Even though you were kind of expecting it, but then when it actually happens. So, yeah, it was kind of surprising. And, just makes you kind of go back and relive the last 20 years yourself, when you first saw him and so on.
Well, we'll be reminiscing about MS Dhoni throughout this episode. Of course, it is titled Goodbye MS Dhoni. When we talk about, it's not being surprising. Again, yes, what you're saying is absolutely right. We were surprised and not really surprised at the same time, because let's face it, it's been 13 months since we've seen him in action last time around in the first semi-final against New Zealand. And there was always this school of thought that he may go to the T20 World Cup, he may not go there. But then again, with this COVID lockdown and everything happening and the T20 World Cup being postponed from Australia this year to 2022, and of course, India will host next year. So there's always this question mark as to what would be MS Dhoni's future. The selectors, the previous selection committee had said that they had moved on. So not really surprising. And of course, he's somebody who doesn't make a lot of public fuss, no announcements really, just a simple thank you on an obscure Instagram post, because it was nowhere else, nowhere on Twitter or anywhere, just on Instagram. And then suddenly it caught fire. And we go all the way to Adelaide to get another viewpoint. We invite, for the first time on Hotspot, in fact, it is the second time, it is the second debut on Hotspot. We had a ghost episode, which we did not publish because, we did not like him on that episode. Isn't that right? We invite the Indian Express, formerly of the Indian Express, and now CricBuzz's roving international reporter, Bharat Sundaresan, all the way from Adelaide. And also, I should mention, the author of the best-selling The Dhoni Touch. Welcome, Bharat, once again to Hotspot. First of all, how are you? How's Adelaide?
I see a sign there which says it's recording.
Yeah.
So this time, I want to check whether you're actually recording this call and not just getting me to talk on and on and then like it never appearing anywhere. So yeah, that happened, I think, when we were in New Zealand. My lunch was delayed significantly that day, so I haven't forgotten. But yeah, it looks like you're recording and I would like to trust you. But don't think for a second that I'm going to let you guys talk too much. I will take over. It will be basically Bharat with Chetan and Deep, but maybe Bharat with Deep and Chetan. Like, yeah, that sounds better ring to it. But Adelaide's fine, man. I mean, it's not a point in anybody's lives when you want to live vicariously. But to be very honest, we've thankfully not been affected to any great extent by the pandemic. We did have cases on and off, but more or less, it's been really life as normal, except the fact that right now, in Adelaide, you need to be seated to get a drink, mate. Otherwise, it's pretty much life is normal. Unfortunately, Victoria is seeing a second wave. So, people from Victoria are anyway called Mexicans in this country. So, Yeah, I mean, they've sort of built like a wall to keep them out as of now. That's what I've realized.
Well, he missed the point about MS Dhoni. You want to talk about MS Dhoni also? Because this episode is not just about
Adrian. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you speak of building... when you speak of building a wall and all, that's what MS Dhoni did to us throughout his career, right? Us being the journalists, like he built a wall and that wall kept like growing higher and higher and higher to the extent we had no idea what was happening in his head. You and I were both there in Melbourne back in December 2014 when he randomly ruined our New Year's night and that evening for sure. I had serious marital problems because of that retirement. And and he's continued to haunt us ever since. And this retirement as well. I was just preparing to get to bed. I just went to Instagram to check whether my wife has posted something or not, just, you know, so that I didn't want her to wake up and see that I hadn't liked it. And then I noticed that there was a post from MS Dhoni 3 minutes ago, it said, and it said that he had retired. So I immediately messaged one of his close friends and I asked him, and his close friend said, hey, bhai, this is fake. It's not possible. And I said, but how can an Instagram post be fake? Aisa main type kar raha tha. At that point, he messaged back saying, yes, Mahi has retired. It is true. And then, there you had it. And then shit hit the fan once again, as they say.
Basically, nobody knew. And that's the case with the MS Dhoni. I mean, I remember when I met him in the 2019 World Cup and it was my 100th ODI and he very graciously signed a souvenir for me. And you know what? He wished that, just get the 200th ODI milestone. And he was like, you know what? It'll be tough for you to get there, but you are not the one close to retirement age. And I was like, okay, why are you talking about retirement all of a sudden? And just cheekily, I said, okay, you know what? Whatever you do, don't do it at 8 p.m. this time around. But again, cheeky bugger, he's always going to do. Deep, the fact that he mentioned about the wall being built and Bharat texting his friend... and even his friend not really knowing and checking Instagram, that's vintage Dhoni. I mean, he like Bharat said, He built a wall around himself, and we don't see that with a lot of Indian cricketers.
No, we don't. I mean, because he's always done it that way. If you just look at the way he announced his retirement, is so MS Dhoni. It's like it typifies him. Just a 4 minute video. And that's that. He does it his way. I mean, you like it or you don't, he's not bothered. He's going to do what he wants to do. I mean, you know, somebody who quite literally controls his destiny. You know what I'm saying? We say a lot of things when we talk about cricket and we have all these cliches and phrases like control the controllables and staying in the present and all that jazz. But he actually does that. And so that's the reason he's so different from at least anyone that I know.
Like Bharat mentioned, Bharat and I have covered him mostly from 2010, 2009 onwards. Deep obviously has seen him from his earlier playing days, has seen him as both as a cricketer and as a broadcaster. So, gentlemen, let's dive straight into it. Initially, you look at his long-haired pictures. Deep, coming first to you, what is your first memory of MS Dhoni? I'll tell you what is my first memory. I remember back in 2005, I was still a student, engineering student back then. And suddenly this, not even 2005, 2004, I think it was. Suddenly on Doordarshan, we had an India A series going on. Pakistan, Sri Lanka. And this long-haired wicketkeeper, and I was like, okay, who's this guy? He has a nice hairstyle, nice hairdo. And that day, not only he impressed, I watched the game, not only he impressed with his keeping skills, but also his big hitting got a half century that day, India A. And a year later, he was in the India senior side or the international side and putting Pakistan and Sri Lankan attacks to storm. What is your first memory of MS Dhoni?
Well, my first memory was when we played against each other. I mean, that point in time was Bihar playing Ranji Trophy and not Jharkhand. So he turned up for Bihar and obviously it was a Bihar-Bengal game. And he got 100. I think that was his first-class 100 he got. And I remember we were discussing about, on the eve of the game, during our team meeting, and we were discussing about different players. And then obviously MSD came up because few of the Bengal guys had played against him in a pre-season tournament called the KSC in Bangalore. And he had turned up for Indian Airlines. And all these guys were talking about this, you know, this guy, you got to be careful and he's a big hitter and blah, blah, blah. And he actually did that. Some amazing shots. And he got that 100. So that's my first memory of him. Like, you could see that, you know, he's got something special in him. Something you can't point a finger to, but you know, he had that X factor back then as well. I'm not aware of the 2002, 2003 season.
Bharat, do you want to pitch in your first memory, like the both of us? Is it something that you interacted with him or you saw him playing or you even covered his game?
No. I mean, like you, I saw him for the first time in that India A series. And my first reaction was I hated it. And I'll tell you why I hated him. Because, like, I started growing my hair in 2001, a very significant moment in my life. As you see, if you can, once you start talking about hair, I get very, like, you know, into it. So when I started growing, you know, the way it grows is you get the middle partition and it grows till there. And everywhere I went, and I was never a film buff, everywhere I went, people would sing songs from Tere Naam because they thought I was just Salman Khan. I was trying to ape him. And I really was not really appreciative of that. And then it became some sort of a mullet. And then people started calling me Sanjay Dutt. And then finally it reached a decent enough length where, like, you know, people stopped calling that. And I grew up in a very Gujju dominated area of Bombay. So everybody, everywhere I went, I was called a rogue star. Right. And then suddenly to, like, you know, when I thought I'd created my own identity, you have this long haired, like, Indian cricketer, like, yeah, I mean, he hadn't played for India. I'd heard the name, of course, but you see him and then people have started talking about his hair and it's all about, you know, this new star has come. And I was like, and if you think about it, till then, the only Indian cricketer I remember who even toyed with long hair was Kapil Dev with the bizarre ponytail towards the end of his career. Deep would remember that. And yeah,
I remember that too. I'm not that old. I remember that too.
Yeah, no, I
too young.
You're too young, exactly. Yeah. So I like, you know, and there poof went my identity. I was just the next Dhoni. So my first, like, yeah, memories of him are but I also remember another incident. I won't name the two players because I can't. But Deep would know both of them really well. I remember there was this Challenger trophy in early 2005 in Bombay. So I had gone to the team hotel to meet someone and I was in the lobby and these two young Indian cricketers of the same Dhoni vintage were there speaking to the senior cricketer who I had gone to meet. And at the other end of the Taj President lobby, I'm sure both of you guys have been in there in Bombay. It's a long lobby. I saw there were all of these journalists standing there waiting for someone. And, like, I mean, I just knew them as journalists. I wasn't a journalist at that point. And then this Dhoni walked out and all the journalists went after him. He just, like, snubbed them. Like, I did not know then that I would become one of those journalists there. Like, so he snubbed them and walked away. And then these two young cricketers were telling the senior cricketer, Dekho, bhaiya, oh, MS Dhoni, कुछ इसमें क्रिकेट विकेट में ज्यादा इंटरेस्ट नहीं है बाइक चलाना है लंबा बाल देखो क्रिकेटर जैसा लगता भी नहीं है दिस इज ही इज नॉट गोइंग टू लास्ट टू लॉन्ग एंड दैट वाज आई रिमेंबर दैट एंड आई मीन आई वाज लाइक या लाइक आई सेड आई वाज नॉट अ बिग धोनी फैन एट दैट पॉइंट आई वाज लाइक या आई न्यू दिस लाइक या नो वंडर ये तो स्टाइल बाय है ये नहीं चलेगा इज व्हाट आई थॉट एंड फाइनली इनफ आई वाज स्पीकिंग टू अ पाकिस्तानी क्रिकेटर यस्टरडे हु प्लेड इन दैट 2004 इंडिया ए सीरीज. And he was telling me the story that the first time they saw Dhoni was when India A was supposed to play Kenya. And the morning of the match, the Pakistan A team reached there for practice. So they were apparently walking in. Akib Javed was the coach of the Pakistan A team. And he apparently saw Dhoni, like, practicing his keeping. And he's like, ye kawal kahan se aa gaya yaar? Ye dholki bajane aaya ya ye keeping karne aaya? So, you know, everybody was just amazed by the look of the man. Like, you know, he just was so unconventional. And yeah, that's literally my first memories and first impressions of MS Dhoni. And yeah, I did, like, grow to, like, you know, admire him and like him and all that. I'm a big MS Dhoni fan now, not as the cricketer, the person as well. Like, it's been great knowing him and interacting with him. But yeah, but I just want to say one more thing. Like, I will come to you, Chetan. You will get your chance. Don't worry. Like, it's interesting when Deep was talking about destiny and how he's a master of his own destiny, right? I remember when I was doing the book, one thing I put in the book was, apparently one thing, he's religious. He goes to the same temple before leaving on every tour. But one thing he never does is show his palm to one of those astrologers or palmists. because he believes, he always says, "Naseeb acha hai, chalne do." So it, and if you think about the way he's lived his life and played his cricket, you know that he's someone who's backed his destiny. He really believes in it. Like, he believes that jo hai wo hai, jo hona hai, it will happen. So, and that's really the secret of his sauce.
We'll come to this point about destiny, that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And we've seen his career pan out in that particular sense. But Deep, I want to touch this point about his looks and everything, that long hair, disheveled look. It was not the look of a cricketer. I mean, especially in the 2000s, and when you had the likes of Sachin and Dravid and Lakshman and Anil Kumble, Ganguly. Yes, Ganguly with his t-shirt and everything bare-chested at Lords. Not really the best example. But then you had all these gentlemen in the dressing room. And here comes this guy. Even the youngsters you look at, Yuvraj Singh, Kev, Zahir, Virendra Sehwag. They were all, I mean, looking the part of cricketers. I'm not saying they were looking like serious models on, you know, on a cricket field. No. But they were looking the part of gentlemen playing the gentleman's game. And here comes the small town chap with all his Salman Khan looks and his bike riding. And suddenly he's taking the cricket world by storm. Because we remember those two series against Pakistan and Sri Lanka. 100 against that long haired, go batting at number 3, getting you know, promotion up the batting order, using the big handle, attacking shots. 140-odd against Pakistan and 180-odd against Sri Lanka the first time, making that keen impression early in his career. And that is, again, one of his pictures, raising his arms with a century and that India jersey with that tricolour in front and Sahara emblazoned.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I never worried about that part. I mean, I've never looked into all that stuff. But one thing I still remember was... you know, we were playing that very year, that very season, we were playing Duleep Trophy. And we were going onto the field and he was wearing a red Man U cap. And one of us told him, you know, "Don't you have a cricketing cap?" and he's like, "Nay." Then that very person said, "You know, why don't you get a cricketing cap? I mean, you're talking, you're going to play Duleep Trophy. It's a proper cricketing game. Wear a cricket cap." And then he found a white cap or something. And I know. So he never kind of followed norms and stuff like that. He did what he wanted to from the very beginning. For example, we were in Amritsar playing Duleep Trophy. I remember that year in England, A had come over for Duleep Trophy. We were in Amritsar and I don't remember, I think I was the captain or whatever. So there was this impromptu dinner thing, you know. So we said, you know, "Call up everyone, chalte hain, khane chalte hain, all that, let's go and have dinner." So we met around 8:30. So one of his Bihar teammates, Mihir, was also part of the East Zone side. And Mihir comes over, he's like, "MSD kahan?" "Well, wo to abhi kamre mein so gaya hoga, wo PK 8:30 baje so jata." "What are you talking about?" You know, and so he was like that. And I told him, "Ki bula le use, yaar, phone kar, aana, aajaya, saath mein chalenge." But no, I mean, he was like, no, he was fine. So, I mean, he was, even, I mean, practice-wise, practice session, generally when you have two keepers in the same team, what you do is you help each other out. So, I did my drills, he helped me do my drills. And then I said, "Ki acha chal, ab bata kya karna hai? What are your drills? How do you want to, you know, during a practice session?" He's like, "Nee, I'm fine." And he goes and he starts bowling in the nets. I was like, "Dude, no practice, as in no taking catches, no nothing." He would come. I mean, he was totally different, the way he approached the game, the way he approached kind of life. It was different.
Very interesting point there from Deep. And I think this is something that I really need to talk to Bharat about, because yes, Bharat's been covering the game a few years earlier than I, and you know, he entered into journalism before me. But Bharat, in all these years covering MS Dhoni, I have never seen him do wicket-keeping drills pre-match. When, you know, I've seen Ridhiman Saha, I've seen Rishabh Pant do it, but never MS Dhoni. Have you ever witnessed him, you know, taking catches, doing those keeping drills? Because the only time I remember him doing anything was doing a few squats in Adelaide in 14-15. And that too, he was not part of the match, first test, you know. He was not going to play because Virat Kohli was going to lead in his place.
I think the most of what MS Dhoni does, even with his practice, or it's all based on common sense. Like, you know, it's very practical, like what he does. Like, Deep was speaking about his sleeping patterns, and in the IPL, as you know, he makes sure he sleeps only at 6 or 7 in the morning. So his whole logic is he wants to wake up just before the match, like literally, like before he has to like have something to eat and head to the ground, so that he doesn't have to think too much about the match. Like, you know, because it's T20 cricket, he doesn't have to practice. And similarly with his wicket keeping, I think the only time he would have even like spent time on working on his skills was when he struggled with the moving ball in England. Like, you know how it moves, as Deep knows, when it moves after it passes the batsman. I think Kiran Moray was in England at that point during the 2011 tour and or 14 tour, and they spent some time working on that. Like, but that's literally the only time. I remember speaking to R. Sridhar when he was fielding coach before he came back in 2017, and he said in a two-year period he'd seen him practice his keeping 3 times. Like, you know, when he was still playing Test cricket and he was playing all formats. But I think that's also the kind of confidence he has. And I'm Deep as the expert here. Maybe it's also his technique. Maybe it's a technique where he does use a lot of hard hands. Maybe it's something that he does to preserve his hands, maybe, that he, like, you know, trusts his technique. Because it's not the classical soft hand technique, right? So maybe that's... And, like, I've learned that he, for example, he plays badminton a lot. And one of the main reasons he plays badminton is for his eyes, like, you know, for his reflexes, which again helps him with his keeping. So I think he does work on his keeping, but he doesn't do it the conventional way. Like Deep said, nothing he does is conventional. So that, like I'm sure he has other drills which a normal wicket keeper wouldn't even think of, because I think he keeps wickets differently to other people.
Yeah.
Deep, just interjecting here, talking about the hard hands, soft hands. I have a theory about MS Dhoni that because he doesn't have that approach of, you know, taking the soft hand, collecting with soft hands and taking the arch back and collecting the ball, he collects with hard hands. And because his hands are very close to the stumps, the time that he takes in stumping batsmen gets reduced. And this is, maybe this is a natural flaw in his keeping, which is, I'm not saying that, you know, it's a flaw thing. It's a flaw because he doesn't collect it the conventional way and keeps it in front. Is that something that has naturally helped him in stumping batsmen, having that extra fraction second?
I tell you what. Yeah, both Bharat and Chetan. You know what? Keeping is one of those aspects of the game which hasn't been really spoken about that much or really haven't kind of evolved with time, like batting and bowling hands. So growing up, all I heard was get up with the ball, give. I mean, the technical word for what you said was give. Give, soft hands. But nobody actually told you what does that mean. They'll say, oh, you know, you fumble. They say, oh, you've got hard hands. But that could be n number of reasons why you could fumble. Not necessarily soft hands, but that's what we've been hearing about. Oh, he's got hard hands. But that's not the case. So what I think one of the biggest contribution of MS Dhoni, especially in keeping, is he's forced everyone to rethink, you know, the techniques that we've been talking about for maybe hundreds of years now, right? So you've got to rethink the whole thing, and he's made keeping look very, very simple. For example, football reflexes. There is nothing. I mean, you don't need superhuman reflexes if you're a keeper. I mean, a batsman would need the same amount of reflexes and a bowler would. So it's, I mean, that way he's kind of redefined everything else. And his style that you mentioned, the first time I actually saw somebody do that was Sadanand Vishwanath. I don't know whether you guys remember 85 or not. I mean, he did that too as well. See, the biggest advantage doing that, as you mentioned, is obviously you're saving time, right? You're saving 2 frames when it comes to stumping or runouts or whatever. At least a frame, if not more. So obviously that helps, but a lot of kids now that I kind of coach at times kids as well, a lot of kids want to emulate him and do the same thing, but that's not easy because one, he's got naturally soft hands. I'm sure both of you have shook his hands a fair number of times.
Yeah.
He's got soft and very, you know, cushioned hands, meaty hands. So naturally they're soft, they're big, and that helps. So it's not easy to do what MSD does. I mean, he can do it, like I said, for for those two reasons. He's got big, soft hands, naturally. So he doesn't really need to give. Why do you need to give? You need to give. That works as shock absorbers. But if you have, you know, good, soft hands naturally, you don't need to give. And again, both of you would remember when he first came into the scene, it was, let's say, predominantly a batsman who could keep, let's say, 70% batsman, 30% keeper. And with time, he kind of evolved as a better keeper. Now, last year or so, you'd say you rather have him in the team as a keeper and a mentor more than a batsman. It kind of, the whole scale had turned the other way around. It would be like 50-50 or 60-40 for that matter, right? So that's something, again, credit to him. And that's something that I've learned watching him grow as a player is obviously he's different, but it works. Then you start thinking, why is it working? So that's the reason I'm saying that he's kind of redefined the whole keeping, the aspect of wicket keeping.
So Deep, talking about soft hands there, shaking hands with MS Dhoni. I remember 2011 World Cup, the first time I personally met MS Dhoni. It was my first tournament covering international cricket. And I met him and I wanted to shake his hand. And he was like, okay, listen, one, you know, this is the first time you're shaking hand with me. Remember, bahut halke se, bahut aram se, don't squeeze my hand because I have a match tomorrow. I don't want to injure myself. So that is the extent of precautions that he took. Looking back now at some more of his pictures, that period, 2005, 2006, 2007, very, you know, too many developments there. Had his great partnerships with Yuvraj, that free-flowing hair, going to Pakistan, General Pervez Musharraf praising him, you know, for his rock star looks. And then everything turning, he has those pictures getting LBW for a duck against Murali Tharan, that burning of posters and defacing of his house. Bharat, as journalists, we do recall that time period because personally, I think it was a seminal moment. It changed his perspective towards media people, made him into this enigma that we call him today, closed him out. He was already closed out. He was already very different the way he behaved and everything. But this really impacted him. And he was like, okay, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to be part of this. You know, I'm going to do it even more my way. I'm not going to give you guys even an inch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one thing I was really shocked to learn when I went to Ranchi to do research for the book was when his friend said that at one point he was like a rarity, because he was a cricketer who would apparently after every series or he would come back home, he would invite all the local journalists. And you know how the relationship between people and journalists are different in smaller cities as compared to Bombay, where nobody cares about us. So he would actually call them over to his place and buy sweets and chai, and he would serve chai to them. So that was the kind of relationship he had with the media. And I've heard a lot of stories from journalists just before we got into it, who have interviewed him, right? Would say that Dhoni would give them a time and he would stick to it, which wasn't the case with a lot of Indian cricketers of that era. So, and definitely this era. We have waited for 2 years for some interviews, as you and I know, Chetan. So, yeah. Deep, you're a good guy, don't worry. So, your era was good. So, to go from that to completely, I think he was just so taken aback by the aftermath of the 2007 World Cup exit that he in fact just locked himself up in his friend's house, would park his car outside and ask his friend to just latch the door from outside so that people did not know where he was. He was that shaken by all of it. And yeah, it explains why he's never trusted the media. Even for the book, when I would stand and that's the thing with Dhoni, you can't approach him on his phone, or there's no access to him. Like, you can't email him, you can't call him. Even his wife at times struggles to get in touch with him. That's MS Dhoni. So the only way you can get in touch with him is you have to watch practice session and stand by the side. And the 1 minute or 2 minutes you get with him, he walks in and he walks out. And even in those little conversations, you could see that lack of trust, right? He would say something and then he would always try to correct himself, always this fear of being misquoted.
No wonder one of the famous quotes was Dhoni asked exclusively, When is Holi or when is Diwali? Something like that.
of course. Like, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about respected journalists, of course, he would give them quotes. Not too much, but like, yeah, you know, quotes like that you just mentioned, Deep. So, and speaking of Sai Saab, like he, I don't know whether he would say it out of respect or what. He would, whenever I asked him for anything, he would say, "Arey, tujhe dega to Sai Saab ko bhi dena padega." So, and I have actually been in a press conference in Nagpur in 2009 when India had won a match against Sri Lanka, and it was late at night, and Dhoni came for a press conference. People are really like, you know, desperate for the press conference to finish and file their copies. And I remember Sai Saab walking up to the like to the podium, showing Dhoni his phone and saying, "I wished you on your birthday, you have not replied. You tell me why you have not replied." And people are just sitting there waiting like for the press conference to start and finish. So they did have a very unique relationship. But with most other journalists, I think he was cordial. Like, and the problem I always had with Dhoni was the fact that he never said yes or no. He would always leave you hanging. Like, I remember being on the 2011 tour of the West Indies, where I won't take his name. There was this other journalist who had, like, you know, just decided that, yeah, tour, I will just interview Dhoni. So Dhoni only came for the test leg. And I used to be next to him. It was just five of us next to him, like after every press conference, and Dhoni would always play him literally, like, "Abhi ye match ke baad, ne wo din ke baad, ye day three ke baad." And this, we went from Jamaica to Barbados to Dominica. And I remember finally, after the test match was drawn, Dhoni telling him, "Actually, rehne de yaar, ab baad mein kabhi dekh lenge." And the journalist was shattered because, you know, and that was the most annoying part of like wanting to get an interview from Dhoni, was the fact that he never dismissed you, which was good in a way. You don't want people to be rude to you, like some cricketers can be. But it was, he just left you hanging. Like, so... yeah, I don't know. It's been an interesting relationship, but I think he's changed the way Indian journalists function. Like, if you look at captains before Dhoni, they always had some links to the media. There were always some journalists close to them. There were always information coming out of the Indian dressing room in some form or the other. Like, when Dhoni became captain, he shut it out. You literally had to develop contacts or sources elsewhere. And I think that, it in a way... Deep speaks about how he redefined keeping and how wicket keepers look at, like, you know, the art of keeping. I think he changed how Indian journalists like go about their work, like especially with regards to news coming out of the dressing room. Because he was, one thing with Dhoni was he did not like anything leaking out. Like, I remember being on a tour of Bangladesh in 2010 when there were suspicions that a Indian cricketer in that team had leaked something out, and go check the stats, you'll know who I'm talking about. And he didn't play for India for a while after that, like, you know, so that was something he was very, very particular about. It was almost like some Omerta code, like, you know, with the Dhoni dressing room, that information shouldn't flow out, which meant we had to work harder.
Yes, and he didn't make us work harder because, you know, it's something, like you mentioned, it has just percolated down from MS Dhoni to Virat Kohli, and this detachment of Indian cricketers from the Indian media, and of course, the subsequent hunt for TRPs, that has really disbalanced this equation. I've always felt that, you know, it's always a give and take relationship between cricketers and journalists, especially people who are traveling to cover them hundreds of miles away. But again, the way the Indian cricketing fraternity or the Indian team, especially when they're traveling overseas, they shut themselves. You know, the word bubble has, or, you know, biosecure bubble, the secure bubble has not come in COVID times. It was already there, always present. It was the Indian team, whether they were playing the World Cup in Australia, whether they were traveling in England, whether it's press conferences, whether it's media days, open media days. I mean, Bharat and I, we have been on so many tours. How many media interactions that we have, which are not pre-match interactions or, you know, run-of-the-mill press conferences? None. I mean, in the last 10 years, those exclusive quotes from the dressing room and everything, they have just died down, because when we were growing up, we saw all of that in newspapers and channels. That has just simply dried off. And again, apart from the runs, apart from the keeping, apart from the World Cups, apart from everything that MS Dhoni has done for Indian cricket, the way the relationship of the media and the cricketers today is also, you can say, a legacy of Dhoni himself. Deep, coming to you on the second part of those pictures, a very turbulent time in 2007, that World Cup, its aftermath. But then again, a series win in England, a test series win in England under Rahul Dravid. But then came the big epochal moment, that T20 World Cup win, established himself as the superstar, the leader of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I mean, winning the 2007 T20 World Cup was a game changer in so many ways. I'm not too sure whether T20 would have picked up as it did post that 2007 if India hadn't won that World Cup. T20 would have picked up eventually, and so would IPL, but I don't know whether it would have got into that, you know, overdrive mode. So that was essential in certain ways. Obviously, it gave you a few big names as well from that. One of them was MSD as a leader. And I think the way he led, I've spoken to a lot of guys who were there on that tour that played that World Cup under him. And they said it was very, very refreshing. It was like, you know, you're the bowler. You do what you have to. You tell me what you need. That was very refreshing, and I've spoken to a few of those bowlers back then, and that's that, and I think he hasn't looked back, and you know what, MSD's legacy goes beyond the ground. I mean, as you mentioned, it's not just about his skills or what I honestly speaking, I wish I could have spent more time with him. I wish I was part of that team or as whatever capacity. I just wanted to see him, how he functions, because there's so much to learn from leadership. Listen, he's the qualities that made him successful or makes him successful are those qualities which are there irrespective which field or vocation you are in. You know, he happens to be a cricketer, but I'm sure if he had chosen to be a corporate guy or an army guy, or even a politician, I mean, he would have been successful irrespective, because, you know, his skill sets are so diverse and so important to be successful in any field, irrespective, like I said. I mean, he could have been anyone else and still be as successful as this.
The captaincy phase, there were certain important moments there. You divided into test captaincy and you divided into ODI captaincy. Bharat, in the ODI arena, it was about building towards the 2011 World Cup. You had the CB series win in there. But again, he was forging a side from Ganguly's time, which had the crux of the players, the nucleus of that 2011 World Cup squad. But it was then just about honing the skills, bringing up that unit. You and I both covered that tournament. We had that amazing vantage point. We just closed there. And you know, I remember the press conferences that he used to talk about the moving parts of a motorbike, of a racing motorbike, and all the parts should be well-oiled and the machinery should be well-oiled for achieving victory. And he did achieve victory. The final moving part was himself. Didn't have the very great tournament. What are your memories from that tournament?
Well, honestly speaking, I did not cover any India matches during the tournament. I was packed off to Sri Lanka and I had a great time in Sri Lanka. Like, you know, because half the time my paper forgot that I was in Sri Lanka, because there was so much hype about what India was doing in that World Cup. I would often call from Sri Lanka and my boss would be like, just write whatever. Like, you know, so I had a great time. I remember vacationing in Gaul while you guys were like, you know, breaking your head over some India-Australia quarterfinal or something. But no, I think before that, you spoke about his building up to that World Cup. I think that a lot of things also have, like, you know, we speak of destiny, right? Deep spoke about the 2007 World T20. I've always imagine if even one of those guys, right, Tendulkar, Ganguly or Dravid, had decided, chalo, I'll go. Even if Dhoni is captain, I'll go on that tour and play that tournament. Would he have had the free hand to do whatever? You wonder, like, maybe he would have, who knows? Like, but for a young Dhoni who was just like 2.5 years into his international career, would he have had the free hand to give Joginder Sharma the last over? If Sachin was there, Sachin would have wanted to bowl the last over, like, knowing Sachin, right? So I think that helped. But I think the biggest moment in his career was that Australia CUB series, right? it's right after Monkey Gate. Like, you know, Dhoni goes there as his young captain, and Australia is not a place you want to tour when, like, you pissed them off. Like, the crowds were going after you. And this was the Australian team, if you remember, who were like, you know, who had just won 3 World Cups, like, you know, back to back. So beating them was a big deal. So the way he led the team against a fiery, like, Australian team, like Simons and Hayden, they were all coming at these young Indians. It was a young Indian team, like Uttappas and Rohit Sharmas of the world. I think the way he captained that side is how he really laid the foundation stone was to what was to come. And like you said, the 2011 World Cup was India's to win in many ways, right? Like, you know, once they got past Australia in that quarterfinal, it was always going to be India's tournament to win. And what better way than Dhoni to, like, you know, write his own script again, like, you know, promote himself up the order and come and finish the game off. And you couldn't have asked for anything better. Like, though, one thing I would prefer is if that final was somewhere else and not in Bombay, because it meant I couldn't reach home till like some 3 a.m. Like, and and as you know, I'm not an Indian cricket fan. I'm a West Indian cricket fan, and they had been knocked out a long, long time before we even reached the final. So I just wanted to get home that night. But yeah, I mean, we speak of hairstyles, but also look at how his hairstyle has evolved. Like, he's never stuck to, he's not someone who's always obsessed with one thing. Yes, he came in with the long hair, and immediately after the World T20, after they won, the hair was gone. He was back to, like, he started sporting a normal cut, like you guys, not like me anymore. So, and then I've heard the story about the night that India won the World Cup in 2011 in Bombay. So a bunch of guys, as always, Dhoni's room, a lot of people are there, doors always open. And apparently the story goes, he just disappeared into the bathroom for a while. And then people were still like talking and having fun. And after a while, Sakshi was like, his wife was like, well, he's been in there for a while. So apparently she just walked towards the bathroom, and everybody else sitting in the room just heard this loud shriek. And they got worried, scared, ki kya ho gaya? And they all ran in to see, like, Dhoni just standing there out of the bathroom, like, completely his head shaven. So what that meant, only Dhoni would know. But, like, in a sense, it was like one burden was lifted off his shoulder, right? Like, he had, like, I think I've never seen him tensed ever in his cricketing career, except during that 2011 World Cup. Because to be an Indian captain, to lead your team in a World Cup on Indian soil, there can be nothing more stressful than that. Like, yeah, so as Virat Kohli will realize, like, next year when that World T20 World Cup happens in India, there is nothing like it. Like, so no wonder he got pissed off with the Australian journalist Sam Ferris after the World T20 in 2016. I can't even imagine what it must feel like. Everybody is just, like, I'm sure it's the same when you're the host country, but India World Cup, oh my God. Deep Das Gupta, I'm sure you dreamt of being India captain one day, but if there was one thing that put you off it, that must be it, right?
I mean, listen, what you're saying is so true here. And if you look at MSD and that period of time, he became a lot more calmer. I think that 2007-08 incident, and then both, I mean, also look at it from the Indian team perspective. It was in a turmoil, right? With all Greg Chappell, Saurav Ganguly, all that was happening. And I think that kind of calmed him down as well. That kind of calmed him down. He was always calm, but not as calm as he was post 2008-09. Yeah. Was a lot calmer, a lot more collected in his thoughts. What I think is that period kind of also defined him as a leader as well. Because it's not easy, as you mentioned, when he started off captaining, I mean, when he first became the captain, these guys were still there. I mean, Anil Kumble was still there, BVS Lakshman was still there, Rahul was still there. It couldn't have been easy for a young guy who's only started his career 3-4 years ago to lead all these legends. So, I mean, but again, he's someone who is so, you guys have interacted more than I would have. But he's somebody who's so level-headed, very unbiased, very pragmatic, right? And somebody, I haven't seen anyone with a better cricketing IQ or a better cricketing EQ. Which is such an important aspect, not just about sports, about any field, right? I mean, I don't see him getting flustered and all. It that does not mean he does not feel those emotions. I'm sure he feels all those emotions as we do. But just to control them under pressure is superhuman.
Couple of points there, taking from both of you. First of all, that 2011 World Cup, I want to revisit it. You mentioned, Bharat, yes, India getting past Australia in that quarterfinal. That was immense. And I remember in the group stages, Suresh Raina had not played. It was Yusuf Pathan who was playing. And suddenly for the knockouts, he brought in Suresh Raina, his trusted partner in crime. And Suresh Raina played two very, very crucial knocks. One in Ahmedabad, partnership with Yuvraj Singh, and that cameo in Mohali. Probably Suresh Raina's greatest contribution to Indian cricket, that cameo in Mohali, because 30-odd runs was the difference between India and Pakistan. Semi-final, Mohali, India, Pakistan. You can just imagine, and getting that 30-run cameo, 36 runs, that was the difference. And of course, like you mentioned, the final, can't even begin to imagine. They had two tosses in Mumbai. And I remember, I was talking to Devendra Prabhu Desai in the final. India had lost Sachin. India had lost Sehwag. The partnership with the Kohli had just ended. And out comes MS Dhoni, surprises us all. And he's batting against Murali Tharan. And you remember how Murali Tharan bowled the wrong one from round the wicket to MS Dhoni in 2007, got him out LBW for a duck. And suddenly, Murali Tharan comes round the wicket, tries to get that angle again. And Dhoni just backs off and creams him through cover for four. That is a shot that I will never forget. And I was standing next to Devendra Prabhu Desai, and I was like, you know what? That's not the shot of a guy who's not in form. And, you know, he went on and got that innings along with partnership, along with Gambhir, and got us that World Cup. And Deep, you talked about, this different hairstyles, different players, being very, very calm and rested. And Bharat spoke about taking that hair off, not being hung up to things. I think that is very vital for that test captaincy phase. You had Tendulkar, Dravid, Ganguly, Lakshman, Kumble. He saw, he oversaw.
Tell me something. Forget test captaincy.
Yeah.
Can you defeat anyone who's not bothered about the end result? You cannot defeat him, can you? Because he's not bothered about the end result. He's not bothered about whether he's going to win it, he's going to lose it, he's going to, whether it's on the field or off the field. So how can anyone lose with that kind of a mindset? And that's, I think, was his biggest strength. I've seen a few of people like him. I mean, these guys are, the reason why they could do what they could do under pressure is because they are not married to the end result. They're not worried whether I'm going to win the game or I'm going to lose it. And that's such an important aspect of who MS Dhoni is, because he's always about planning the process. I know all of you guys and a lot of people were like, oh, come on, he's again going to talk about processes. It's the same thing, whether it's a press conference, it's a post-match presentation or whatever, he will talk about processes. But that's who he was. I mean, that's exactly how he worked out things. He was not about, okay, you know what, whether we're going to win it or we're going to... A person with that kind of a mindset cannot lose, right? You cannot intimidate him. You cannot do anything because he's not worried.
I want to ask a question to both of you. You know, we talk about that phase where Ganguly retired, where Dravid retired, Lakshman retired, Sachin retired, and slowly after the 11 World Cup, you had Gambhir, Sehwag, Yuvraj, Harbhajan, Ashish Nehra. You know, the crux or the nucleus of the side that he had played with, and he had, won so many things with the ICC Test Mace, 2007 World T20, 2011 World Cup. One by one, he oversaw all of them leaving the stage. It was a massive, massive transition. Could anybody else have handled that the way Dhoni handled it? With the test transitions, those players leaving, and with the limited overs transitions. First Deep and then Bharat.
Well, it'll be unfair to say whether only he could have done it. He did a great job. That's besides the point. But I think it's unfair to kind of say nobody else could have done the same job. But what he makes him different is he's so pragmatic. He's so practical. For example, he would pick and his one of his greatest strengths was understanding the limitation of his players, of the opposition. that is such an, he wouldn't expect something that, that his player could not deliver, that a certain player could not deliver. He would only expect what he could, right? And he would build a team around those chips. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this guy I'm going to play because he can bowl me 25 over and he's going to go at 2 runs and over. There are a lot of people who played along and went, played for 2 years, 3 years and went. But, and he picked all of them knowing exactly what they could deliver and his expectation more than what he could deliver. And that's the reason, even that period of time during the transition, it wasn't that bad.
Bharat, your take?
I'll agree with Deep for the third time now. Because he doesn't think about the end result. He's never afraid of taking decisions. And I've spoken to guys who, like, I've seen him when he visits the army camps. And, like, there's this big Fauji who rests inside that big body of his, right? And one thing about it is he always prefers to meet the Jawans, the soldiers, because he believes that, and as a result, if he's visiting an army camp, he will make sure that they are informed only at the last minute so that they can't like organize this big banquet for him where all the officers and the pretty wives are there and he has to mingle with them because he's not comfortable doing that. So his job is generally to go meet the Jawans, talk to them because he can relate to them. They're small town boys who have fields and farms and he would talk to them about decision making. And he would be like, A, never ever compare an India-Pakistan match to a war because there are no lives involved there. Like, don't undermine yourself by doing that. And B, the only way you will get good at what you do is by taking decisions. You will fail more often than not. But the more decisions you take, the more often you're giving yourself a chance to be successful. And that's really sums up the way he captained the team and the whole transition. He is also someone who's always had roles, even in his life, away from cricket. Everybody has a role in their life. His wife is a wife. I mean, she plays a role. She, her role is not... not saying limited to that, but like she cannot encroach upon, like, you know, whether it's his friends or his family. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a fixed place in his life. And if you see how he captained his team in that transitional period and even otherwise, that's exactly what he's done. Like, you know, the way he would use. And that's why I feel like guys like Jadeja and Ishan Sharma, people would wonder why he would like play them in every game because they are guys who, if Dhoni had a game plan, they could execute it the way he wanted it, like, you know, him to do it. Like, you know, and we've covered so many matches, Chetan, where you would hear him over the stump mic, right? Like, you know, Jaddu idhar daal, Jaddu udhar daal, Jaddu dheere daal, Jaddu hawa de. And it was almost like Jadeja was like a machine. He was just pressing a button. And similarly with Ishan Sharma. Ishan, tujhe ye fielder udhar nahi chahiye, toh main udhar hata dunga. I remember in Brisbane, poor Rohit Sharma on a hot, steamy day. One over, he would be at short cover. The other over, he would be at final. And he was going, arre, kya ho raha hai? And he was getting really pissed off, I remember. Poor Rohit. But that is Dhoni's captaincy, right? Like, and that's how he's lived his life. And he is a general in many ways, like an army general. I think that's what he would have wanted to be in life. Unfortunately, cricket happened and the army didn't happen. And he played cricket and he's lived cricket in a very similar fashion. Though he says it's not war, he's treated it like a war.
And I was talking to Yuzvendra Chahal once and he was telling me about that dismissal against Glenn Maxwell when Australia were touring here last time around, and he says, you know what, Glenn Maxwell was just punishing me through mid-wicket, and suddenly Mahi Bhai says, okay, you know what, ball outside the off stump, make it go away from him and just slow it down a little. And that's what I did, and the next ball Maxwell tries to hit me again and he is caught. So go on, Deep.
Listen, if somebody is slogging and he does not have the brain to go slowly outside off stump, there is a problem, boss.
I know that's a problem there. But what I'm saying is, you know, you talk about an inexperienced Chahal. You talk about somebody who's not, you know, you're talking about Glenn Maxwell, who's when he's on song, when he's hitting you out of the park, you don't know what to do.
I'm only trying to say, Chetan, here is there are certain things we cannot teach.
Yeah.
I mean, that everyone does.
What my basic point is that it's not just about Ravindra Jadeja or an Ishan Sharma. It was not a one-off. That is what I'm trying to get at. It has been not just with Chahal. It has not been with Manish Pandey at the non-striker's end. It has been with every single player, or especially since that transition period, everybody who's played with MS Dhoni, he's been able to bring the team together as a sum of parts. And this is where I think that period from 2011 onwards, no Indian captain would have survived that 8-0, but he did. because he was interested. Okay, whatever the reasons of him surviving as the test captain, but he had a job to do. He had to oversee that transitional phase and set the record straight for the next phase of Indian cricket. Deep?
I don't know about that, because at that point in time, who would you appoint as the captain? I mean, Virat was still new. He was still learning the ropes. So I don't know, but I completely agree. And when I think about it, I mean, he was a general on the field. He marshaled his troops like a general. And he liked that kind of players who would, you know, who wouldn't ask, when you ask those players to jump, they won't ask why, they will ask how high. That kind of players, he actually enjoyed those kind of players. So he'd rather have somebody who is not very talented but is ready to die for him. You know, that kind of players he would have them in the team. And as you mentioned, I think yes, there were criticism and they were justified. I mean, listen, I mean, I can't remember any captain who survived after 8-0. But I have a theory for that as well. The reason why maybe he was a better white ball captain than a red ball captain is maybe because that's the format that he really liked, white ball, whether it's 50 overs or 20 overs. As a player, you know, your captaincy is a reflection of how you think as a player. So in a white ball cricket, he was more comfortable, he was more aggressive. As far as red ball cricket is concerned, it wasn't his favorite format, if I may say so. I mean, even though he's got, what, around 5,000 runs and averages around 50 and double 100 and all that. But I would reckon it wasn't a format that he was the most comfortable in. And that kind of showed in his captaincy as well. It was more like, acha yaar, pakad ke chalte hain, we kind of, let's try and do something. Rather than in white ball cricket, he would make things happen. I think that's the reason maybe his red ball captaincy is not as great as white ball. What do you guys think about this, Bharat?
No, absolutely. No. And just about the whole transitional thing, right? Like, I remember hearing about his relationship with all these senior guys, especially Tendulkar. And I think it summed up why he was so good at managing it. Like, I would hear that with Tendulkar and Dhoni, if ever like Tendulkar would like, you know, walk past, if they came across each other in a hotel lobby, Dhoni would like literally reverentially like move out of the way. It was almost like, nene, like it's your way. Like you walk past him. Like it was like this crazy kind of like respect. But on the field, when Dhoni was captain, and you know, we've heard stories about Tendulkar, Deep would know better. Did you play under his captaincy, Deep?
No, in fact, I don't know. First year we played Dilip together. I think I was the captain. But anyway, that's besides.
Oh, right, yeah. So, like, you know, and Tendulkar would be in his ear, like with, like, you know, he scored bowling day, usko ye day. On the field, he was the captain. You were not Tendulkar, the man I respect more than anyone else. And I think that is what helped him overcome that whole awe of these guys, right? You know, on the field. And he established it very early on. And it helped him, I think, with the whole transition. And as far as red ball cricket goes, I always thought he was almost like a drummer. Like, you know, he understood the pulse and the beat of white ball cricket much better than the long drawn out, like, you know, red ball format. As a captain, I mean, like, you could always, in matches that we've covered, Chetan, and you've watched Deep and commentated on, he would let things drift a lot more in test cricket than he would in one day cricket. Like, where it was more decision making. And I think that came more naturally to him than to like play the long game as captain, right? Like, you know, think about day three when it's still like lunch on day one. I think that maybe he struggled with. And of course, I mean, you also have to look at the bowling attack he had. Never really did have like the bowling attack that Kohli has at his disposal. You wonder how Dhoni would have done with this bowling attack. But I think, see, it summed up that third test in Dominica in 2011. I remember India were 1-0 up and they needed to like go, like, you know, chase a very small total, bat at like go at 4 and over for like 15 overs and win the match. And you still had Dravid batting, Lakshman, Dhoni, everyone in the dressing room, and they just like shut shop. They just 15 overs to go, mandatory overs, shook hands and walked away. And then I remember he didn't even come for the press conference. Duncan Fletcher was sent for the press conference. And the reason was, no, we were like afraid of losing our 1-0 lead. Like there was no way India would have lost 6 or 7 wickets in those 15 overs on a dead pitch. But it told you a lot about his approach to test cricket. It was always draw first, especially away from home. And then if you're in a position for a win, then we'll think about it. And I'm sure, Chetan, you remember your first two, our first two together in Durban. You remember he didn't take the new ball for some 180 overs, and that ball looked like something that a cow had chewed. And then, it was like he just wanted to delay the game. And I think India, in a way, suffered in some test matches, like the Johannesburg test, like preceding that one. India looked in a very strong position, but for some reason, he never went for the juggler as often as he did in white ball cricket.
Taking points from both of you, I sort of agree with the both of you in what Deep said, that he loved, or he was taking more to white ball formats than red ball cricket. I always felt that he was a limited cricketer in the longer format, and also it had an impact on his captaincy, because if you're a limited cricketer in a particular format, the captaincy will be effective in that particular sense. What I'm trying to say here is that a limited time frame of an ODI or a T20, there's always going to be a finish line. You have to cross the finish line. In a test match arena, there are 5 days. The game sometimes drifts away from you. So in a limited capacity, in a limited thinking capacity, I thought MS Dhoni was a limited test captain, and it was an extension of the limited test cricketer he was. But personally, when Bharat says, in a particular scenario, he was considered to be a bit negative or did not have that killer instinct of going for victory. You recounted that third test in the West Indies or Durban, where the ball was old. They did not want to give away free runs to Jack Callis, who was batting like a charm in his last test match there. So, all in all, sometimes I thought, Bharat, that it was a bit unfair to say that Dhoni was a negative captain. I remember this press conference in Delhi when Australia had been, blanked 4-0. And the fourth test match after that, he said, if MS Dhoni puts a third man after the first hour's play, he's termed as negative. But agar Australian captain dalega third man, toh wo negative nahi hoga, Dhoni negative ho jayega. That's the exact statement he used and, sent everybody in raptures. So, very well, Bharat, how he used to speak. So, you can really literally copy him. So can we have a pearl from you?
I know. MS Dhoni press conferences. Like, I remember, before I do that, I'll tell you, I think in 2010, there was this MS Dhoni press conference in Kochi. The match was washed off and it went on for some 30 minutes. And this, I was a young journalist as well, but this journalist was covering like Dhoni for the first time. He listened to it and like after the press conference, he came up to me and he said, like he spoke so well. I said, I just looked at him. I said, really? Yeah, bro, he spoke so well. I said, okay, now you go transcribe it, listen to it. Then you'll realize you'll have nothing to write from it. And that was the magic of Dhoni. Like he always felt like you were getting a lot from him. But actually speaking, you would not. Like you would ask, at times you would ask him questions about something and the answer would be something he had come pre-prepared with. It was like, he had come to give the history exam and regardless of what the question paper was, he was still going to stick to the answer. I remember asking him about something about his batting. And then in Hyderabad once after an ODI. And then he went on this whole rant about Yuvraj Singh at number 5 and how difficult it is to bat at number 5. And I just kept looking at him and thinking, what the hell is he talking about? Like, yeah. And he also put me on the spot once in 2010 in Bangladesh. So you remember Sehwag captained the first test and said Bangladesh is an ordinary team, and Chittagong tiny press box back then. I told all the fellow Indian journalists, "Aaj khana mat khana yahan pe. I think it's poisoned. Like, our food is not going to be." And then when he came back as captain for the second test, he did his press conference, and he was walking.
You have to
away,
talk in. You have to talk in MS Dhoni's voice.
Yeah, yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah. So when I walked behind him and I said that Mahibai, like. Now that you're number one team in the world and all, does it mean that you also have to, think about how you're winning the test match and not just about winning? And then he just looked at me and he said that we have to win, but you have to win in action, not with words. Yeah, ki kuch bhi bolke jaane mein kuch ye nahi hai. And then I did not understand what he was talking about. And then I just like turned around and there were these other Indian journalists. They were like, "Tu likhne wala hai kya story?" I said, "Story kya hai? Arre Sehwag ke baare mein wo bolke ja raha hai aur tu samajh bhi nahi raha hai." And then like, yeah, he put me on a real spot. But of course, if I have to imitate Dhoni, it has to be about the hair, because there was a point you would remember, Chetan, when he had just lost it for 2 years. Wherever he saw me, he would just shout from far, like, "Bal katle yaar, bal katle." And then it reached another level in 2017 when I went to the West Indies, where he said that to me. And his wife was not too far. She's like, "Haan, ekdam barabar bol raha hai maahi. Aap kya karo? Aap kal na room mein aajao. Hum dono baith ke aapka baal katenge." Like, aapke family mein problem kya hai? Like, mere baal ke peeche kyun khade ho yaar?
Jealous. And
then, I remember.
Everybody is jealous of your hair.
Unfortunately, even the wife. But like, yeah. But Dhoni actually explained to me once. Okay, that at one point I remember we were somewhere. I said, "Yaar, ek second. Aapko kya kyun aap bolte rehte ho? Practical solution de raha hoon." मैं नहीं बोल रहा हूँ लेंथ कम कर थोड़ा इधर तक काट ले सेम लेंथ लेस वॉल्यूम वही बोल रहा हूँ ऐसे अच्छा सो देयर इज लाइक अ प्रैक्टिकल सॉल्यूशन टू द या सो ऑफ कोर्स यू वांटेड मी टू डू अ प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस थिंग वेल वी विल हैव टू टॉक अबाउट द इंडिविजुअल्स एंड यू नो ऑल दैट इफ यू वांट टू गेट इनटू दैट
आई रिमेंबर ही यूज्ड द वर्ड प्रोसेस अ लॉट आई रिमेंबर दिस प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस एट द एमसीजी 2016 tour when they were blanking Australia 3-0 in the T20 series. Process. I think he used the word process in a 4-minute answer, the word process around 15 times and transcribed the whole thing. And they were like, literally, there were three lines that you could use out of it. Yeah, he never really gave too much away. Had that smoke screen, you know, never really. It was a facade, really. Yeah.
Yeah, but Chetan, it was the, I always believe, like, you know, the test retirement, we spoke about in 2014. But we know the real reason why he retired, right? It was Lele's question. Like, you remember about...
Yeah.
Hanuman ka pooch, India ka pooch, Doberman ki tarah aur Hanuman
Peter,
ki tarah.
Peter.
Yeah.
Aajkal to, and he was like, "Aajkal to Peeta wale bhi bolte hain, Doberman ka pooch nahi kaatna hai." And I was like, what just happened here? And on the same tour, that was the last question. And on the same tour, I also remember an Australian journalist asked him about DRS, and he just sat there, and his reply was, "Well, you have the right to ask me question. I have the right not to answer." And Dr. Baba was the media manager, and he was like, "Yeah, he's right, yeah, of course." And we were like, "What the hell just happened?" The Australian journalists were flabbergasted. You know, it was not the first time he had flabbergasted an Australian journalist.
Having said that, though, when he really wanted to say something, he would say something. I remember, yeah, if you remember the quote he gave after the 2014 World T20 after India lost. And that really summed up the Dhoni career. He had said that nothing good or bad happens in Indian cricket without MS Dhoni's name attached to it. And I think that really was, yeah, the story of Indian cricket while he was at the helm, like, you know, throughout that period.
Absolutely.
From 2007 to 2017. So, yeah, sorry, I cut you off there. Like,
no, and in fact, what you just said, you know, just lays into the final segment of this episode. It's been a long one, because now that crown, if I may say so, is firmly rested on the head of Virat Kohli. If I can borrow from Game of Thrones, I borrowed it for one of my articles also. It's a song of fire and ice. You have MS Dhoni, who's the icy bit, and you have Virat Kohli, who's the fiery part of it. It's a song of ice and fire, their relationship, mutual respect. Virat, in every time he's spoken about MS, he's called him his captain, obviously gave him his debut, was there. Their camaraderie, you know, just the friendship between them, just the respect between them. It is something that you can see, whether it's on screen, whether it's on a picture, whether it's when they're having a partnership in the middle deep. It was a unique relationship between Dhoni and Virat Kohli, and probably still is.
I'm sure it would be, because the other important thing, listen, it's he's a very lovable character, even though you might not get through to him half the time, like, you know, both you and Bharat have mentioned. I mean, he does not carry his own phone and all that. But when he's there with you, he's there with you. You know what I'm saying? He's there all years and is focused. So he's an extremely lovable guy. And there is no reason why he won't have... And obviously, he's a very, very smart guy as well. I mean, as far as his, as I mentioned, because he's cricketing IQ or EQ, he's second to none. So I'm not surprised. And obviously, I mean, I'm sure everyone would have a special relationship, because he is one guy who speaks less, and his discussions would be very one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? He's not one of those guys who's going to stand there in front of, you know, his team and would give a speech. He's not that kind of a person. So every individual would have a one-on-one story about him, you know. So he would have that special relationship with almost everyone because that's the kind of guy I think he is. And I'm not surprised the relationship that you mentioned because, listen, like I said, I mean, I would do anything to spend, you know, I would work free for CSK if that's the case, if I can just kind of, you know, just see how he works, his mind works, because he is one guy who's not going to talk a lot. You know, you've got to read between the lines when you're with him. I mean, especially, I mean, you guys know that much better than me. But the idea is, it's not what he says, it's not what he does not say. That's important. So if you're around him, you understand that process, how he works, what is he thinking. And that's just amazing. And like I said, I mean, I've learned so much just following his career from the outside last 17, 18 years. I've spent some time, which again, it's been a pleasure. But that's the kind of guy he is. And like I said, I mean, even this year, if CSK gives me a call and says, can you just come and we can't pay you, I'd be like, yeah, I'd just be there for 2 months, just watch him, man.
I think everybody, every Indian would be there. Every Indian cricket fan would be there. We all want to be part of CSK. And I also tweeted, you know, CSK's TRPs for this season, they've just shot through the roof already without, you know, the season having started yet. Bharat, I remember that partnership in Mohali between Virat and Dhoni. Perhaps their best on-field partnership. It was against Australia in the T20 World Cup, a format both of them have aced. But what really freaked me out that day, you know, they were just pushing the ball towards mid-on, mid-wicket, mid-off. The Australian fielders were pushed back and they were running twos. That partnership, after Yuvraj Singh got out, they ran and they ran and they ran. Virat Kohli was exhausted. He was on his knees. He was just, you know, praising MS Dhoni like this. That was a partnership for the ages. And for me, you know, for these two guys, their respect, their relationship, that partnership was just a representation of what the Dhoni-Virat, you know, relationship is all about.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Dhoni couldn't have asked for. I think with Dhoni, Suresh Raina and Virat Kohli, two guys I think he loved batting with, purely because they could just run the opposition ragged, like you correctly said. Extremely fit guys. I mean, Dhoni might not be gym fit, as Deep would tell you, but he's just naturally just very fit and strong, powerful guy. He's the Pahadi guy who's got that natural energy. So, their relationship has been special. I remember 2000, there was a short tri-series in the West Indies in 2013 when must have been the first time that Virat Kohli captained India. I think Dhoni got injured after the first game or so. He captained a couple of games and there weren't too many journalists there. I remember the final was India-Sri Lanka. And you guys would remember Dhoni finished it off in Dhoni style. Poor Shaminda Iranga never played one day cricket again. India were chasing a decent target, and then it literally Dhoni and Ishan Sharma at the end. Yeah. So India won with one wicket, I think.
Yeah.
And like he just smashed him for a couple of sixes in the last over. And so this was at the Queen's Park Oval in Port of Spain, where both of you have been. And then after the game finished, the Indian team was just walking out for the presentation. And I was just standing near the dressing room, like, you know, waiting to watch the presentation, waiting to go to the press conference. And like when Kohli was captain, like I said, there weren't too many journalists. Like we just like kind of like, you know, formed a connect, Kohli and I, like, you know, we would talk to each other, just smile at each other. So there was this conversation Kohli and I had without words, right? So I was just standing there and like the Indian team was slowly coming out, and then Kohli walked out and Dhoni was like, you know, just speaking to Ian Bishop or whoever was doing the presentation. So we just happened to look at each other and I just looked at Virat and said, like, you know, I was amazed with what he'd done. And then I will never forget the look in Virat Kohli's face. He just looked at me and he just went like, it almost went like he was all in his face, right? That, like, you know, what his captain had done. And I mean, Virat wasn't the Virat that he is now, but in 2013, he was still Virat Kohli. But you could just see, and even now you get to see that awe, like, you know, when, by now I mean, like, when Dhoni last played, that awe that the captain has for him. And I think that'll never go away. You've seen his posts on Instagram and everywhere. It's genuine. Like, it's not, I mean, when someone retires or when someone dies, everybody wants to say good things about them, right? Yes, even their enemy wants to come and say, I worshipped you, I respected you. But when Virat is doing it, you can see it's genuine. It's coming from within. Like, it's not like is not for Instagram. So like, yeah, and like before you guys get carried away with this CSK business, don't forget you have to learn Tamil and know to know how to like visit
So you
already have to do the Russian thing as well. Yeah.
You're already qualified for joining CSK.
Compulsory.
Don't, I don't think they will rate my Tamil at all, so I have no chance. You guys have better chance.
You talked about this memory with Virat and everything, Virat and Dhoni. I have this memory of that Mohali T20 game. I was there at that game. I think it's time to bring an end to this episode with memories. You have to talk about memories. Deep, let's go one by one. Deep, first an on-field, off-field memory for you, then Bharat, and then I on-field, off-field. Let's talk about two memories that stand out for MS Dhoni.
Obviously, the first time I saw him, I mean, we were playing against each other the first time I ever saw him on a cricket field back. But you know what? What will stay with me, obviously, I think the way he retired, his retirement announcement itself, that 4+ minute video on Instagram. I mean, it's just him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's something. I mean, it's like he picked up that song, an iconic song, and made it memorable. And that's what he's done. He's picked up something good and made things better. You know, I mean, Indian cricket was always good, but he made things better, you know, and passed it on. Just like the song, I mean, it's just everything. I mean, if you hear the lyrics of the song, it's just him. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's him. That's so him. Everything, starting from the lyrics to, you know, to the way he announced it, when he announced it, the timing of it. Just everything. I think it's just so MS Dhoni in his retirement announcement.
Bharat?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Deep brings up like the Instagram post, right? Since he's done it, people have like gone berserk over why did he do it at 1929? Some people have said he used 16 words just because he played 16 years for India. And that's the magic. My theory is, I have not confirmed this with anyone. My theory is, he just went back to his room after practice. And you know, when right next to the hotel phone, there is always a clock, right? I think he picked up the phone to order room service. He saw 1929 and it just stayed with him. I will not be, because it'll end up being something so simple and like, you know, random that.
But even the wording, man, 1929, that's so army-ish, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. 1929 hours. So he's not even using, you know, 7:29 p.m. or anything. It is absolutely Dhoni's. We will never understand why he did, and he'll never even answer. Or that's something for him to know. But what is your one on-field memory of Dhoni, Deep, and Bharat?
Bharat, you go ahead.
Okay, see, off-field, I'll tell you, because like he'd always been this enigma, and like, you know, we never understood what was going on in his head and all that. I got to see his human side once. I remember it was in 2016 on the Zimbabwe tour, where again, like, he was a captain of a young ragtag Indian team. Now a lot of them have become stars, like Bumrah and KL Rahul and all that, but they were all debuting in that series. And this is around the time, if you remember, he had started losing his cool in press conferences. We spoke about him calling Sam Ferris, and he lost his cool after the Bangladesh T20 as well, or league game as well in the World T20. So I remember just pulling him aside one day during that Zimbabwe series, and I said, yeah, like, what has happened to you, man? You were like Captain Cool and you never lost your cool. And like, why, what's happening? What happened to the old Dhoni? Why are you losing your cool so often? And he just like stopped. He just thought for a second and he said, I explain it to you in this way. He said, like, if there is like a wound on your body somewhere and someone keeps hitting you on the same spot over and over again, are you saying that I should stop being a human being as well just because India doesn't want me to be? Like, should I just stop reacting even if I'm in pain? It's as simple as that. Tell me. I said, no, calm down. Do whatever you want. But like, and you could see the human side of him. And for me, I mean, of course, like, we all have so many memories on and off the field, like on tours and everything. But that really stands out because the real Dhoni for a second, like, you know, the veneer, it just fell off for a second. Like, because at the end of the day, he's just a simple, real person. And in terms of on-field memories, for me, it's not really the six hitting or any of, like, just the way he, like, you know, marshaled the field, right? Like, you know, just the way he took care of the field really stood out. But for me, I'll tell you, my on-field memory is the World T20 in 2007. When you see the bowl out, and Deep, I'm sure, would have appreciated it like even back then. It's just amazing that man's common sense, that when you see Pakistan doing the bowl out, Kamran Akmal is standing in a normal wicket-keeping position standing as if someone's going to give him an outside edge. Whereas Dhoni just like, you know, kneels down behind the stump. In fact, like accentuates the target for the bowler or whoever is running in. And that's just pure genius. It's like he literally, you know what he did in his career? I think he made gully cricket cool. Like, you know, just before my last words would be, we spoke about, like you spoke about what the advice he would give his bowlers from behind it. But little things like, you know, getting his bowlers to, in the last over of a run chase, to just after the second or third ball to stop, tie his shoelaces, let the pressure build on the batsman. That's like gully cricket, man. Like, that's what we would do in gully cricket. But he just took that to the international stage and made it cool. And that, for me, sums up MS Dhoni.
Deep, your on-field memory?
On-field, our first zone team together. I mean, E-zone match together and playing football. And that was, I mean, I kind of spoke about that practice session. I think that kind of surprised me. But when I saw him keep after that, I mean, from then on, I wanted to follow this guy because he was so different and still made things work. Work, that would be an understatement. And he was so successful. I think every moment, every time I see him, because I would like to believe I'm a student of the game. So every time he's out there on the field, I'm just looking at him and trying to figure out things that he's doing. Why is he doing? If there's a change in the field, what is he thinking of? I mean, it's just amazing. Every time I see him on the field, it's like trying to figure out, trying to decode what is he trying to do, because he's so different, you know. More often than not, if a captain or any keeper is saying something or making field changes, you know what is going to happen. But with him, he's one of those guys whose expertise is thinking outside the box. So you're always kind of maybe at times overcomplicating his thought process and kind of thinking, okay, what is he trying to do now? So I think every moment that he's on the field, it's just amazing. And I think one of the on-field/off-field thing was, I was doing a presentation, was at last IPL in a Chennai game, and his post-match presentation ceremony, and that was like brilliant. And that was like, you know, at times I know I played with him and all, but you have those fanboy moments. That was like a fanboy moment. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm senior to him, I've played with him and all, but that calmness, because that was another game which, I mean, they won a lost game. It was against Rajasthan Royals at Chennai, right? And they were defending with a wet ball, and they managed to do so. I was like, dude, how do you do this, man? And how really do you do this? So I mean, I'm a great fan. As simple as that.
We're all great fans. My couple of memories would be my off-field memory with him. This conversation I had with him in 2016 on the Australian tour, and we were talking about captaincy and, you know, different captains, how they were in the past. And I happened to not mention Saurav Ganguly as much, but I mentioned Tiger Pataudi, you know, went all the way back. And then he just stopped me there and he was like, did you see Tiger Pataudi play? I was like, no. I said, even I didn't see Tiger Pataudi play, because that's the thing. We are so young in comparison to people who saw Tiger Pataudi play, that we are influenced by, you know, what others have said or the accounts the others have given of somebody like a Tiger Pataudi or the elder players. And that's the thing about him. The point he was trying to make was, do not get influenced by what others tell you about somebody. You know, that I thought was the enigmatic version of Dhoni. Yes, they've gone.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. Even when it comes to MSD as well.
Exactly.
Because we get influenced by individuals' aura and everything else. At times, I think it's human nature that you do that, but that happens all the time, isn't it? I mean, we all do that.
And in a way, I personally thought it was his way of saying that, you know what, when I am gone or when I am done, do not, I hope people do not judge me from, you know, your point of view or others' point of view who have covered me. Because again, you can't really judge MS Dhoni from a different person's perspective, because let's be honest, none of us really knew who MS Dhoni was, or he would always stay an enigma for us.
Does any one of us think that he really cares?
No, he doesn't. But what we do care about is my on-field memory of him. I was there at the 2011 ODI World Cup final in Mumbai. You see that video of him hitting a six, from the front on end, and Ravi Shastri with that commentary. I was there in the press box that day. The commentary wasn't on, and MS Dhoni was facing away from me. So I saw him hitting the sixes, hitting that six away from the end that I was, and to see it live, and to quote or to paraphrase what Sunil Gavaskar has said, I will never forget that moment for the rest of my life. And India won the World Cup, and I was there, and I'm sure a lot of Indian fans would not forget either. Bharat, you wanted to say something?
Obviously, I have to have the last. So, now going back to what you were saying about Dhoni talking to you about Patavdi, like, look, Chetan, you and I wouldn't have been friends and wouldn't be sharing this space if we had ever listened to what people thought of us. So, yeah, exactly. I think you heeded to Dhoni's advice. And talking about that World Cup final, all I remember thinking about is when the ball went flying into the stands, I said, that's it. Lots of work is what I thought. I did not celebrate. Which was true. We're still writing about it all these years later.
Well, yeah, we had lots of work. I remember I finished my work at 1 a.m. in the night, but then went straight to Marine Drive, found my friends. I was there till 6 a.m. dancing on the streets of Mumbai. Right, that brings us to the end of this lengthy episode. It's an MS Dhoni special. After all, it's all things MS Dhoni. Thanks to Bharat Sundaresan for joining all the way from Adelaide.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. And hopefully this does make the air and does it like go into your special archives, Chetan.
No, it will make it to the air this evening itself. Thanks again to Deepdas Gupta for joining us. This podcast will be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the usual places, and on YouTube as well. Do share and leave your feedback. Until next time then, stay safe and goodbye.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.